Good evening to each one of you. And I want to tell you that I give my love to each and every one of you tonight.
Amen.
It's because I love Jesus.
Amen.
I love him. I thank you for that song. Because I move because I love him.
Yes.
Some of you might have heard. A few of you might have heard part of this. But it's in God's hand. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, thou art God Almighty.
Yes, you are.
And Lord, we're dependent on you.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we ask you for your anointing,
yes,
your wisdom, your words. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thought I have tonight, as she writes that on the board, is as dear children.
Yeah.
Like I said, some of you have heard some part of it. But tonight, this thought is inspired by Ephesians 5:1.
Oh, yeah.
I want somebody to get that scripture and read it, please.
Be therefore followers of God as dear children.
Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Tonight I want us to take our time, if you don't mind. And I want us first to think of what it means to be a dear child.
Yes.
So some of us have dear children. My daughter that passed away, I consider her a dear child.
Yeah.
And number one, she was very, she loved her mom and her dad.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about how that sometimes, you know, she wasn't always obedient, but dear children must be obedient. But she had such a deep love for me. There were times she would just go to the store, and she's looking in there, she sees something that she think I could use. And she get it. I remember one time she got, I believe it was two skirts, one for me and one for her. She was a dear child.
Yes.
Well, the scripture says, be ye followers of God as dear children.
Yes.
And how are we going to do that? How are we going to be followers of God as dear children? I honestly believe that we need to have a devotion to God. To follow him as dear children, we need to be devoted to him. We need to love him. The scripture says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. If you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, you will be a dear child. So dear children are obedient to God. They love him, and because they love him, they obey him. And it's very important for us to love God, to follow God on that level. I don't really believe that we're going to make heaven if we do anything less than that. Because if we don't love the Lord like we ought to love him, we'll find ourselves trying to do things our way. That just isn't going to
work.
When it comes to going to heaven, our way is not going to work. That's one of the things that we need to get rid of real fast when we get saved. Our way. Ourself. We need to destroy self. Deny self. Die to self. Fight self. Because self would keep us from doing what God would have us to do. It's important that we follow God. If we claim salvation, we need to follow Him and obey Him. You know, so many times we say we love Him, but then we don't obey Him. We don't do it His way. We got to have it our way. And so we won't be following God as dear children. Now, sometimes we need to look at, I said this before, we need to look at the opposite. Helps us to get a better understanding of what a concept is. So let's look at some people that weren't dear children in the scriptures. Let's go to Isaiah 30. Verse 1 and verse 9. Somebody read that for me. Children that are not dear children, they are rebellious. They want to have their things their way. You tell them to do one thing and they'll do it, they won't. They'll try to get around it. That's not a dear child. I remember when I was growing up, I dearly loved my mother. And when we would be walking somewhere, maybe going to see the sick or something, because she took us with her, I found myself trying to walk straight behind her. If she stepped this way, I wanted to step right footy-footy with her. And I know that I probably told my mom many times, "Mom, I love you." But one time, she said, "Doris, don't jump rope in the driveway." Okay. Some of you might have heard this. And I went out there, just jumped. Our driveway had rocks in it. It wasn't smooth like paved. And I fell. And I hurt my eye, above my eye. And so I ran in the house. No doubt I was just crying up something. My mother was such a gentle person. She didn't say, "It's no better for you," which she could have. She didn't say, "I told you not to jump rope in that driveway." She didn't do that either. But guess what she did? She took me in the bathroom. I remember going to the bathroom. She's washing that place, and it was bleeding. And while she was watching me, she said, "Obedience is greater than sacrifice." Now, she knew I loved her because I'm always, you know, wanting to show my love. But that's what she said, "Obedience is greater than sacrifice." Yeah. Guess what? If she had said, "Better for you, no, you know, you shouldn't have," I might have forgotten that. But guess what? At this age, it's just as clear as it was when it happened. I remembered it for a lifetime. Now, Jesus and our Lord God tells us to obey Him, doesn't He? But sometimes we say we love Him. You know, we praise Him in church and we claim we are saved and we're doing all these good things. And then He tells us something to do. Or He might tell us something not to do. And, you know, we kind of excuse ourselves for doing what we want to do. The Lord might tell us, "I want you to go visit so-and-so." And He might think, "Oh, I have a headache today. I can't go today. Maybe I'll go tomorrow." But the Lord is saying, "Go," right? "Lord, Please bless that person that you told me to go visit. I'm making a sacrifice. I'm praying for them.
Mm-hmm.
But God wants me to move
and
do what he said.
Amen.
And yet, I can do it, make a sacrifice of praying for them. Well, I got up this morning, I even fasted and prayed for them. Obedience is greater than sacrifice.
Amen.
So it's more important for me to go and do what he said. We don't know what that person is in need of. They might be in dire need. And fasting and prayer is good, but we need to obey him, because obedience is greater than sacrifice. When we do, we're dear children. We're dear to God. Just like the love we have for him and the willingness to obey him endears him to us as we are endeared to him. Somebody get that scripture.
Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with the covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin.
So what good is saying I love the Lord and I'm not obeying him? Because when I don't obey him, I'm being rebellious. It's very important for us to follow God as dear children. If you have a rebellious child, it's hard to deal with them. It's not easy. It's hard to deal with them. They might say, Mama, I love you. But when you tell them to do something, they don't want to do it. It's difficult.
Amen.
On the other hand, that dear child that wants to obey you, that loves you, oh, you would do anything for them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You just go out extra mile for them.
That's right.
God is the same way. He's going to go the extra mile for us if we're dear children. And if we follow him as we are to. Now let's go to 1 Samuel. We're going to look at someone that was not a dear child. 15:1-9.
Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus said the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that he hath, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen, 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. You want more?
Hold on. I'm trying to get there. Did you get to verse 9?
No, ma'am. I meant verse 5.
Okay, all the way to 9.
And Saul said unto the Kenites, go and depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Abana until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. 8. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. 9. But Saul and the people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused, that they destroyed utterly.
Okay. So, when you look at this, God had sent Samuel to anoint Saul to be king over his people. And then he gave him a charge. He told them to go and utterly destroy these people, everything. They were not to keep one thing. But did he obey him? He did not obey him. So would he be considered a dear child? He did. He had his way. They spared the king. They spared everything that was good. But everything that was, you know, refused, he did. They destroyed that. So if it was an animal that was kind of weakling or had a problem, he destroyed that. But if it was nice and fat and healthy, he kept that. So he did not obey God. But do you know that if we disobey, it's going to be consequences? So we're going to start at 13, the same chapter, verse 13 to 18.
And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. 14, and Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed.
So you see, stop just a minute. He not only didn't obey God, but he started putting the blame on the people.
That's right.
You know, it's a bad place to get into. I sometimes think about it and think, you know, you can deceive yourself. If you don't obey God, you can deceive yourself and feel like you're doing the right thing. It is very dangerous to disobey God. It is important for us to follow God as dear children. What he tells us to do, we should do. What he tells us not to do, we should not do. It's very important, or else we're just spinning our wheels. Sometimes we'll have a big profession, but if we're not obedient to God, it's just no good. And you're going to pay. It's consequences. So let's read on and see what happened to Saul.
Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. 17. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? 18. And the Lord sent thee on a journey, and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. 19. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? You want more?
Yeah, go on down to 23.
And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalekite, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites.
Just a minute. You see how he must have deceived himself?
Yeah,
he's saying, yeah, I have obeyed, but I brought the king, Agag.
Lord, help us.
You know, it's very important to listen to God.
Yeah. Amen.
Listen to him. Yeah. What he tells us to do, he has a reason for it.
Right.
Sometimes we think we know, but we don't. We don't know. God could tell you sometime, don't do such and such. I remember one time this happened to me.
Yeah.
I was going to college at the time, Tulsa University,
mm-hmm.
and I needed to take these books back to the library. So I chose to go this particular night, which I don't know why. But somehow I didn't feel like I should go. Uh-huh. But I went anyway. I'm telling you, I'm telling on myself.
Okay.
And when I drove, I got in a really bad accident. God had mercy on me. He had mercy on my cousin was with me, and my little niece was about 6 months old. She was me. And my car, I was coming to an uncontrolled intersection. No stops either way. And I started to go forward. This guy was driving very fast, the police said, probably 100 miles an hour, and it was in a neighborhood. My car was knocked upside down, up on the top was down here. And the other guy's car jumped the embankment and ran into a tree. But the guy got out and ran away. So, but I was just thinking, we all came out of it alive.
Thank the Lord.
But had I not gone that night, I wouldn't have gotten in that accident.
Yes.
It was the mercy of God.
Yes.
But you see how God knows best?
Yes.
We might plan, but we need to obey God.
Yes.
Follow Him as dear children.
Yes.
And so, I'm learning that the most important thing to do is to follow what God says.
Amen.
Everybody's not going to understand you when you do it. But if you do it God's way, it's going to work out the best.
Amen.
Follow God. Let us follow God as dear children. And so, read on.
This verse. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. 22. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice,
yes,
and to hearken than the fat of rams. 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft,
yes,
and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king.
He lost it. He lost his kingship. And if you read on and on the life of Saul, he lost his mind. His mind would go from him time after time. God withdrew from him, and eventually he lost his life. It is very important that we be followers of God as dear children. Now let's look at some dear children. Let's go to 1 Peter 1 and 14. Dear children are obedient to God. They love to obey. Have you had a child that you tell them to do something and look like they enjoy doing what you tell them? You know, Sarah that sings up here, I can imagine what her grandmother feels. She's like a dear child. You ask her to do something, she's older, of course. She just looks like she's glad to do it. Most of the time, she's just running to do it. That's what you call dear children. And you need help, you almost have to say, no, I can do it. Because she's always trying to help. That's what a dear child is like.
Yes.
And you may... My sister made a spill the other day, and who was down there cleaning it up? Sarah. She didn't have to do it. That's a dear child. Children, learn now to be dear children to your parents. Did you all hear me?
That's right.
Did you hear me? Learn now to be dear children to your parents. When you do that, when you grow up, it will be easier for you to be a dear child to God Almighty. You know, we talked about God Almighty. We have to serve Him. Learn now. If your parents say, stop playing, don't think I'm going to throw this ball one more time or I'm going to skate a little bit longer and I come. Stop. Stop. Stand still. Stop. And do what they tell you to do. You'll be blessed for it. But I tell you what, if you're not dear children and you're disobedient and rebellious, you're going to pay some way and somehow. This scripture says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft.
Yes, it is.
Do not rebel against your parents.
Amen.
Do not disobey them.
Amen.
You know, I have to talk to the children too. You all have to excuse me. Amen. So let's read 1 Peter 1 and 14, please.
As obedient children, not fashion yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation.
Yes.
Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy.
It says, as obedient children.
Yes.
So that's how we're going to obey. We're going to live a holy life. We're going to live a righteous life.
Yes.
You cannot say to me that I am a dear child and I'm living all kind of ways.
No.
That's not going to
work.
The scripture tells you how to live.
Yes.
Forsaking your sins. Repent. Repent of your sins and forsake them.
Yes.
And live a holy and righteous life. That's how you're going to be an obedient child. Let's look at Abraham, Genesis 17, 1 through 4.
And when Abram was 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect.
Yes.
2, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. 3, and Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations.
Look at the promise the Lord gave to Abraham, and he told him to walk before you. That means, walk before me and be thou perfect. What does that mean? Follow me. And Abraham was faithful to do that. He was faithful. When the Lord told him to give your son, your only son, whom you love, sacrifice him. Abraham didn't fool around. You know, when you're obedient, you're going to get right to it. You're not going to just slow around and you hesitate, but you're going to do it because you fear God, because you love Him. And so he didn't. He got up early that morning when he told them to sacrifice his son. He didn't wait 2 or 3 days and say, well, you know what, I got to pray about this some more. Surely the Lord didn't want me to sacrifice Isaac. But he did. And not only did he do that, he went just where God told him to make the burnt offering.
Yes.
And I was thinking how that when he got on that mountain, he went, he looked, he saw what God told him to do. He went on the mountain that God showed him.
Yes.
What if he had said, well, you know, that mountain's a little high. Let me try this one over here.
Mm.
That's a little hard to get up. I'm going to try this one. We do that. We make excuses. We try to make it a little easier for ourselves. But we don't need to do that because he commands the blessing right where he told us to do it. There's no blessing over there. So he went on that same mountain, the right one, and he, I shared this with someone else, but I just can't help but think, what a dear child Isaac must have been to allow his dad to bound him. He said, "Dad, here's the wood and here's the fire. Where's the sacrifice?" He said, "Son, the Lord will provide." And he also told those men, he didn't let them go all the way up there. He told them, he said, "Stay here. I and the lad will go yonder. We will go and worship and come back." So he felt that if I slay my son right here, God is going to raise him up. He had faith and confidence in him that he's going to raise him up, and we're coming right back. So here he does. He walks and does it exactly like the Lord told him. And when he got to that mountain, what was there? He got ready. He bound him. How many of you children would let your parent bind you for a sacrifice?
How old was the child, Sister Clay?
I don't know.
He was about 31 years old, what I understand. So
how many of you would let that happen? But he let it happen. And you know what? We have no record of him saying anything negative. But what, you know, how many would do that today?
It's runners. Lord have
mercy. Lord have mercy. We need to be just like that for the Lord. A dear child. And it looks like it's going sour. It looks like it's gonna be a complete flop. But we need to have so much love for God and obedience to him to do it anyway and leave the results in his hand. And so, when he raised his hand to slay his son, was the angel called from heaven and said, "Abraham,
thank the Lord."
And he said, "Here am I."
Amen.
Obedient.
Said,
"Here am I."
That's, right.
That's obedient.
Amen.
As a dear child. I've had plenty. I've had my children, my grandchildren, and other people's children. And I've known this a lot of times. You call a child, they won't even answer.
That's right.
If they think you got some work for them to do or something, they might not say a word.
Mm-hmm.
Here am I. But Abraham was a dear child.
Yes.
Here am I. And so what else did he say?
This is the 12th verse, the 27th chapter of Genesis. And he said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad. Do thou anything. Lay not thine hand upon the lad. Neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know.
Yes.
If thou fearest God,
yes.
Seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from
yes.
thee."
Thank you.
Go ahead.
And so he didn't have to do it, but he was willing to do it.
Yes.
He was going to do it.
Yes, he was.
And God do that. And so what else he said?
13. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns.
Yes.
And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son.
Yes.
Dear child, that's what we want to be. We're going to follow God. We want to follow God as dear children.
Yes.
Now, I want to tell you, don't you know that Jesus was an example of a dear child? Let's go to Matthew 3 and 13. He was our example.
Yes, he was.
All the way, from beginning to end.
Yes, that's right.
But I want you to see not only how he was the dear child, but how God responded to him being a good dear child.
Yes.
Matthew.
And promised Jesus from Galilee, mm-hmm, and Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. 14, but John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him.
Yes.
And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him.
Yes.
17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying,
yes,
this is my beloved Son,
yes,
whom I am well pleased.
Thank the Lord.
See the example he set before us. Wouldn't we want him to say, this is my beloved son, my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. The only way this is going to happen is for us to walk, follow him as dear children.
Yes.
Pray for me.
Yes.